Music has incredible power. It can calm us, energize us, and even change our attitudes. The Apostle Paul shows how music has always been a tool for God, from creation to the words of the prophets. Today on The Wisdom Journey, Stephen has a lesson called The Power of Sacred Music. Discover how to use music to connect with God and strengthen your witness. Stay tuned as Stephen Davey unwraps a deeper meaning for music in your spiritual life.
Has it ever occurred to you that when we sing, we're actually joining in a practice that's been around since the creation of the world? The book of Job speaks of the original gospel choir of angels singing as God created the universe in Job chapter 38. The book of Revelation indicates that we're going to join the angels in singing God's praises throughout all of eternity, Revelation chapter 15. Every time you sing to the Lord, you're tuning up to join that choir. And let me tell you, that music on Sunday morning really isn't then a prelude to what matters. Music actually matters all by itself. Martin Luther, the reformer, once said that sacred music is the handmaiden of theology. And he would write a number of hymns for his congregation to sing, and we're still singing one of them today, entitled A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. One Roman Catholic priest complained back in the 16th century about the lingering effects of Martin Luther's Reformation ministry. And he said, Luther has stolen away more people with his hymns than with his sermons. Have you ever thought about the fact that even in the secular world, the effects of music are undeniable? I read some time ago of a medical doctor who said that half an hour of good music can produce the same effects as 10 milligrams of anti-anxiety medicine. Are you troubled today? Are you anxious today? Are you being tempted today? Well, what kind of music are you listening to on your way to work or school? Who are your musical counselors? Well, as we sail back today into Romans chapter 10, Paul is going to summarize his teaching by quoting some sacred music. He's going to reference the lyrics of three songs, and he's actually going to use them to show that the unbelieving world is responsible for their unbelief. We're going to pick up our study here now at verse 16. But they, unbelievers, have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have. Now, Paul anticipates his Jewish audience here saying, now, wait a second, if faith comes by hearing the gospel, when did the nation of Israel ever hear the gospel? And it's as if Paul says, well, let me answer that question by playing you a song right out of your own sacred hymnal. It's hymn number 19. We call it Psalm 19. And in that psalm, David writes these lyrics. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. And Paul is quoting from that lyric here in Romans chapter 10, verse 18, their voice has gone out to all the earth. The Greek word Paul uses for voice is a word that's created to sound like that which it describes. It's the Greek word pathangos. Pathangos refers to the vibration of a musical string being plucked. You get that pathang, pathang. Well, Paul is saying that the truth of God's creation is literally vibrating throughout the universe. Everybody is exposed to the Creator's musical masterpiece. It's putting on a show of God's creativity every day, and then there's another showing every night. The whole world, in effect, hears the sounds of creation. We call this general revelation. Some people hear even more than that, the sound of special revelation, and that comes from the Bible, the Scriptures. Yet in either case, beloved, through created nature or through inspired Scripture, the world is refusing to listen to the music. The world has lost its hearing, so to speak, in defiance of God. It's plugging its ears. I heard a rather humorous story about an older man who was concerned over his wife's hearing loss. He was convinced that, she would never admit it, so he asked his doctor for advice. And the doctor asked how bad her hearing was, and he answered, I think it's getting pretty bad, doctor. So the doctor said, let's experiment to find out. When you go home today, say something to her when her back is turned to you, and if she doesn't respond, get a little closer, speak a little louder, and just do that until she responds, and we'll be able to determine how much hearing loss she's experienced. So the man arrived at home. His wife was at the kitchen sink with her back to him, and he stood in the doorway and quietly asked, "What's for supper?" No response. He walked a little closer and said a little louder, "What's for supper?" No response. He got right behind her and loudly said, "What's for supper?" And she turned around and she said, for the third time, chicken soup. Well, now we know who was losing their hearing. Just like that man, the Jewish people thought nobody could hear God like they could. In reality, their ears weren't hearing any of his glorious, universal gospel music. Well, now Paul voices another objection the Jewish people are going to ask here in verse 19. But I ask, did Israel not understand? Well, in other words, here's the question. Maybe they heard, but they didn't understand the music, the lyrics. Well, once again, Paul says, let me play you another gospel song to answer that. And this song was written way back by Moses in the ancient days. Paul then quotes from Deuteronomy 32 in verse 19, "I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry." Well, that doesn't sound very musical to me, but Moses did sing this after commissioning Joshua as his successor. His entire song recounted the grace of God throughout the history of Israel, and the song also prophesied that Israel would become jealous and angry when God redeemed another nation, and that, of course, is a reference to the Gentile nations. Paul goes on then to quote the prophet Isaiah, who is singing the same tune, and Paul quotes him here in verse 20. "I, God, have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me." These lyrics were written by Moses, and they're rather shocking. The Jewish people thought they had exclusive rights to God, but now as this gospel song goes along, the Jewish world is understanding and becoming angry and jealous that God is choosing Gentile followers. But wait just a second here. I thought the objection back here in verse 19 was that Israel didn't understand the gospel. So how does Israel's jealousy answer that question? Well, they did understand, because if they hadn't understood, they wouldn't have cared if the Gentiles believed it. Their jealousy and anger indicated that they understood this gospel was coming from God. By the way, beloved, when you share the gospel with people today, they might get angry with you and say, I don't care about God at all, and I don't need saving, and, I don't need Jesus. Why are they so angry about it? Their anger reveals their anxiety and their inward awareness, that it's true. Nature points to a creator, and the truth is revealed in Scripture. What is God doing about Israel's unbelief, by the way? Paul answers that here in verse 21. "But of Israel, the Lord says, all day long I have held out my hands." Beloved, you want a true picture of God? He's holding out his hands. They're outstretched in this patient invitation to mankind. Don't miss the fact that those hands are nail-pierced hands. Paul goes on to say here that God has his hands out to a disobedient and contrary people. The word disobedient refers to a stubborn refusal to believe. The word here for contrary means to speak against. You see, it isn't enough for unbelievers to refuse Christ and just go on with their lives. That's not good enough. They have to speak out against Christ. They have to use his name as a curse word. Jesus Christ is a name unbelievers use in every possible way today except to worship him. And what's God doing about it? Well, we're told here, and this is amazing news to me, he's still holding out his hands today. He's still inviting the world to believe. So let's demonstrate that same kind of persistence, that same kind of patience and grace. And by the way, let's keep tuning up our voices. Let's keep singing the songs of the gospel. Let's sing them today. Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Today, you've learned that music is much more than entertainment. Scripture is full of gospel songs that proclaim God's truth and call people to Him. So, use music intentionally. Fill your ears with lyrics that praise God and lift your spirit. In addition to being the president of Wisdom International, Stephen is also the president of Shepherd's Theological Seminary. The campus of that school is located in Cary, North Carolina. There's a brand new, incredible opportunity. Students can now receive a free seminary education at Shepherd's. If you or someone you know is interested in graduate-level theological training and wants to pursue a Master's of Divinity degree, consider Shepherd's Theological Seminary. There are a few requirements in order to qualify for the free program. One is that you need to be an in-person student here at the main campus. Online students don't qualify. You also need to study full-time and plan to graduate in 3 years. Finally, you need to plan to serve God full-time in Christian ministry when you graduate. Learn more about this incredible opportunity at wisdomonline.org/STS. Once again, that's wisdomonline.org/STS. Thanks so much for joining us today. Continue through God's Word next time on The Wisdom Journey.